As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. You can be a part of it. Welcome to the Wednesday, March the 4th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. This oraclebroadcasting.com, I'm on the web, they're on the web, we're all on the web. Go to visit www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info for a little bit of information on me and the things that we're doing down here in Southwest Missouri. My name is William Robertson. I've got good news once again, hard facts, and hopefully some workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. It's going to take all of our oars in the water to find any happiness in this country these days. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. And interactive talking radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become a vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room, or simply pick up the telephone and call in. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you may call toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You can also send ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. Again, that's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and microbroadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, those websites are www.vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. Visit the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room. Log on there today. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065. That number is posted on the website, and the Oracle chat room is open. Today we're going to talk about market reports again as the red ink continues to flow, putting a historical foundation on the new economic order, part three. We'll take your calls and much more. In this first segment, let's get right on into those market reports. We'll go as far as we can, and then if we need to, we'll come back to them in a moment on the other side of the first break. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, March the 4th, 2009. Gold up $4, trading at $919.80. Silver up 28 cents to $13.11. Platinum $15, moving upwards to $1,046. A $3 move upward in palladium to $195 per troy ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading down 37.27 to 6,726 points. The NASDAQ running 13.21. The big news, S&P down under 700, 696.33 points on a 4.49% move downward. The USDX off 13 basis points to 89.17. And crude oil running up $1.87 at 43.52. The gold-silver ratio stands at 70.15. The low and high on the spread so far in the spot market, coming in, the low is a 905.30 to a high of 923.40. The spot market's going to close in about 7 hours. And so far, in a one-year change, gold is down $44.60, or a 4.63% fall year-on-year. So there's lots happening in the market. There's lots of red ink all over the place. We're going to talk about that and much more after we come back from our first break. Got a lot on the plate today, books stacked up all around me. You'll want to listen in. I'm sure you'll learn a lot.
Folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Wednesday, March the 4th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. We've already given the market reports from this morning, but let's go back in a little bit and look at it one more time. Gold trading up $4 to $919.80 in active trading in New York City. One of the interesting things that I've been following and we've been talking about in this multiple part series, if you will, on the foundation, the historical foundation of the new economic order, one of the interesting things that is coming up here is foreign exchange and foreign exchange rates and the idea that foreign exchange is a commodity, something to be traded. You know, if everyone on the, in the planet was dealing with gold and silver as opposed to all the various and sundry funny monies, things would be maybe perhaps greatly simplified, and our historical research proves that out. But we went into this idea of currencies. And so I think looking at currencies and starting to get a little better feeling for it, I have pulled off a couple of various currencies, particularly important for those listening in the United States of America and our North American community partners, if you will, the Canada and also Mexico. Just looking at the exchange rates, I think I'm going to add that into our discussion on a regular basis. Today, the Canadian dollar is about 78 cents compared to a U.S. dollar at 1.29 Canadian dollars to buy you one American dollar. The Mexican peso is down about 0.066 or 0.07 or 0. Very low, right? Takes 15.17 pesos to buy a dollar. The euro is a much different program. The euro is about 80 cents, .80 of the euro, or about 26. It'd take $1.26 to pick up a euro. The British pound, likewise, takes about $1.41 to buy a British pound, $1.41 U.S. So you can see there's kind of a differential here. There's an unusual differential. If you look at that euro, for instance, at 1.255 to 1, and look at the U.S. dollar index trading at 89.17, what we can see here is just about a flip-flop from when the euro came on the marketplace. I believe, if my memory serves me right, and it's a little dim and foggy, and it is an early morning here in southwest Missouri, but I think it came on somewhere in the same vicinity when the euro was introduced, only the numbers were reversed. In other words, the euro was trading at 85, I think it was, or something like that, to the U.S. dollar, and the ratio now has flipped. So the value of the dollar to the euro has gone down, the euro has gone up, if you want to look at it that way. But it's interesting that this Mexican peso is dropping and dropping and dropping. So against the U.S. dollar, also the Canadian dollar was much stronger about a year ago. So lots is happening there, this idea of foreign exchange. Another thing that's on the market in the news and the various articles that I've been reading here on Oracle and elsewhere, when we look at the news that's coming out of the various financial writers, the newsletter writers and things like that, they're really drawing straws, in my opinion. They're just basically using words as a cover of their, I think, lack of real understanding of what's actually happening. When you're inside of a manipulated market, and it is an absolutely manipulated market. This is like I've said before, this is like standing at a roulette wheel, you know, and you've been playing roulette for a couple of hours and you're just losing your bottom dollar. And you kind of get the idea that maybe you need to feel around under the table and see if you can't find the magnet. Where's the switch? Something's going on here. And so as I've been watching these markets for the last almost 10 years, not that I'm an advisor or an analyst or some grand poobah, I do this as just part of my daily routine for my own edification, for my own learning, for some understanding. But there's no logic to any of this. There's no sense to any of it. You know, people get into charts and they draw all their lines and their bar curves and their bell curves and their demand curves and their supply curves. And there's, you know, if the market was fair and honest and open, if there was any kind of honest weights and measures going on here, when you have runaway demand globally for the precious metals, the prices should reflect that, but they're not. And when you have absolute terror and fear of the U.S. dollar as we throw trillions and trillions of these, as these insane children and adolescents that run our government, as some have said recently, people would be backing away from the dollar, not going forward. But there are so many partners. We've gotten inside, you know, we've gotten inside of so many other countries' economic systems that it's not just like a con game. It is a con game. It's also, as we've said on other broadcasts in regards to Leo Strauss and his city of speech and his city of crime, the noble lie, the neocon philosopher, Leo Strauss. If we look at what's going on with that clown, and the downside risk of all of the young people that whose minds he poisoned, we can understand that we're basically inside of the Cosa Nostra here. Or you can say the Casa Nostra, depends on whether you take it with a kosher pickle or not. But nevertheless, we're inside of a great, it's not just even a con game, it's a mob. It's a financial mob. So that's what this new economic order is largely all about. But there's another player involved in here. We watch the gold and silver as they move up and as they move down. But the moves up and the moves down are kind of unusual. I've been paying attention to these things, and there's, you buy gold and you buy long and you stay long like all the newsletter writers advise you to do, looking for that day when gold goes over 2,000, or maybe it'll go over 5,000. Who knows? Who knows if we'll live long enough to see that happen? But one thing is for certain, there are other players in this market. And for those patriots, those people in the patriot movement have bought into the gold and silver deal, as I and many others have. One of the things that we have noticed, perhaps you've noticed it as well, gold, let's say about this time of year, each year goes up and starts to move strong. And this last year it moved up to just about 1,000, and this year it's moved up to about 1,000. And then it takes a substantial nosedive and heads to the toilet again. But no one seems to be able to capitalize on that. No one seems to be able to get involved in that profit-taking thing unless you were to, well, let's just be honest about it. If you were to do it this year, for instance, if you had taken all your gold and silver down to your local gold dealer and sold it all into the marketplace and come away like the people in East India when they were selling off their gold junk jewelry and gold surplus, and the broken watches and things like that, and their cell phones and anything that had gold in it, selling it into the scrap market. They went in and capitalized in that way. But if we were to go in and capitalize, as the market writers talk about, profit-taking, if we were to take profits, what would you buy? You'd come away empty-handed. We'll be right back. Stay with us here on Become Vocal Local.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Oh,
And we have returned once again. Now, as I was saying in the last kind of a rambling, ranting segment, there's other things going on when we the people, or we the sheeple, depending on how you want to look at it, are involved or engaged in these big marketplaces. None of us being professionals at this, none of us having a deep enough pocket to really take a major loss or run a big risk. It's all gambling. But one of the other players that's inside of this system that I've been following and becoming more aware of on a daily basis are the ETFs, these exchange-traded funds. Go up on Bloomberg.com and check it out. I pulled down a little explanation, a frequently asked questions page, about what is an ETF, the frequently asked questions about exchange-traded funds. I won't even begin to try and pronounce the name of this East Indian that wrote it, obviously, Sri Vidya Bhakta Slava, blah, 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 whatever his name is. But he's got some 8 very interesting points that help maybe clarify a little bit for all of us just what is an ETF. I'll read them for you. What is an exchange-traded fund? Question mark here. An exchange-traded fund, or an ETF, is an investment product representing a basket of securities that track an index, such as the Standard & Poor's 500. ETFs, which are available to individual investors only through brokers and advisors, trade like stocks on an exchange. Now, I don't know how many of you have followed the writings of Joan Vian and the various her website. I think it's womensgroup.org. I've got 2 of her books. I've got the Global Straitjacket, the United Nations Global Straitjacket, and Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince. I've read both those books. I've had them for years in my library. Sent letters to Joan before. I think that, I mean, I've interviewed her once on air. I've certainly heard many interviews with other hosts interviewing Joan Vian. She has gone to more than anybody else that I know of, more of these United Nations conventions, and she focuses on the financial issues. So one of the phrases that I learned from her years ago was this concept of a basket of currencies. And so we can see here in this exchange-traded fund that we're talking about baskets of securities, or again, you know, when we look at foreign, the dollar, the peso, the euro, the pound, the ruble, the rupee, and all the rest, these are foreign exchange. This is commodities. These are baskets of dollars, baskets of currencies, baskets of securities. Excuse me. I don't have a cough button yet. And I have a lot of coughs. I sleep with a little frog in my throat. It takes me about 10 till 10 o'clock in the morning to spit him out some days. Nevertheless, so it's a little basket of securities, these exchange-traded funds. And as the author here states, he says they trade like stocks on an exchange. Question number 2, frequently asked question number 2, how does an ETF differ from an index mutual fund? Index mutual funds also track baskets of securities, but unlike index funds, which are priced once after the end of each trading session, ETF prices change throughout the day because they're traded like shares. Like shares, they can be sold short, a bet that the index value will decline, and they can be bought on margin using borrowed money. And be careful there. 3, what are the advantages and disadvantages of ETFs versus mutual funds? Exchange-traded funds charge lower fees than actively managed mutual funds and offer investors a wide range of sectors, geographies, and strategies. Interesting, huh? A wide range of sectors, maybe various commodities perhaps, various stocks, various groups, various geographies, Asia, Europe, America, South America, things like that, and strategies. Should we lose it all today or shall we lose it all tomorrow? Investors in ETFs pay average annual expenses of $25 for every $10,000 of assets, compared with $91 for actively managed U.S. stock funds, according to Morningstar Inc. in Chicago. Investors pay a brokerage fee when they buy or sell ETFs, which is a drawback for active traders. Commissions can range from as little as 0 for certain customers, that probably wouldn't be you or I, or up to as much as $25 a trade. So every time you come in and you make a trade on your ETFs, you might get whacked $25 for doing so. But if you're looking at picking up a considerable differential between $1,000 gold and anticipating that it's going to drop back down to $900, $100 an ounce gold move, things like that, why, you can see that the $25 commission could be sufferable. And I'll say this about that. Even if you're paying $25 a year as an annual expense for every $10,000 worth of assets, and even if you have to pay $25 a trade, it's still cheaper than paying the broker commission when you buy and sell coins, and it's certainly cheaper than paying the insurance and the shipping when you're sending gold or silver, which are both heavy and bulky items that carry a whopping shipping cost because of the insurance. You get a little box about the size of a tuna fish can, and it's got $90 worth of postage on it. How do investors use the ETFs? Question number four, frequently asked questions right off Bloomberg. ETFs are popular among institutional investments to make rapid and large bets on sectors such as oil, gold, waste management, and semiconductors. They also use ETFs to hedge their bets on stocks, bonds, commodities, and other securities. In 2007, managers introduced ETFs for use in retirement accounts, such as 401k plans, as well as life cycle ETFs, which invest more conservatively as investors near retirement. For individual investors, ETFs offer a wider selection of indexes than the mutual funds. What are actively managed ETFs? Question number five. In 2008, managers including Invesco PLC and Barclays were the first to receive approval from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission for actively managed ETFs. The active ETFs are designed to trade on an exchange like stocks while investing in securities picked by a portfolio manager or by mathematical models. So there's 100 ways to lose your lever here, or your savings, depending on how you look at it. Six, how much is invested in ETFs? And this is the important part. This is why I brought this out today, because I've been watching as the SPDR Gold Trust and others are adding tons and tons of gold to their holdings. Of course, if they have tons and tons and tons of gold in their holdings and lots of investors, then certainly they could influence the price of gold, could they not? Certainly they could buy in or dump on the market and make radical swings in gold prices. Have we just seen some of that? Perhaps. Let's go into this a little deeper here. It says, how much is invested in ETFs? Assets in exchange-traded funds surged more than sixfold in the past 5 years to $608 billion as of December 31st, 2007, according to Washington-based trade group Investment Company Institute. ETF assets will probably rise to $1.4 trillion by 2011. I emphasize and reiterate that three times because in the next couple of days we're going to get to an interesting one of these ETFs and 2011 will become more apparent to you. Number seven, who are the major sellers of ETFs? Barclays Global Investors, the asset management unit of Barclays PLC and where? In London. Is the biggest seller of exchange-traded funds with a 55% share of U.S. ETF assets as of February the 29th, 2008, according to State Street Corporation, which tracks ETF flows. Best pay attention to State Street Corporation. And also notice that Barclays is holding about, 55% share of the U.S. ETFs. We'll be back. Stay with us. The plot thickens.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlackListNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlackListNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled Mockingbird don't want you to know about.
MySpace. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CCWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CCW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.cctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.cctwpromotions.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we're back right here.
Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Sorry to walk all over you there, Mr. Thomas. We're back right here on Become Vocal Local. And for the call-in numbers are 512-904-8014 in the Austin area. Or if you have unlimited minutes on your cellular phone or something like that. I don't use those devices, but if that's the way it works, that's the way it works. And you can also listen via telephone at 512-904-8014 if you're out doing business today or working on the chores, I suppose. Internationally, around the world, and around America, you can also call toll-free at 866-841-1065, and I'll try and figure out the telephone system and get you right up on air. Going back here to this frequently asked questions list pulled off of Bloomberg, what is an ETF? Going back to the point number 7 and closing this out, then, again, who's the big dog here? Barclays PLC in London is the biggest seller of exchange-traded funds with a 55% share of U.S. ETFs. 55%. They're running a majority holding position in these ETFs. This is London PLCs once again. Barclays manages about $306 billion in ETF assets. State Street, based in Boston, is the second biggest seller of ETFs with about $130 billion in such assets. And point number 8, what are some of the biggest ETFs? The three biggest exchange-traded funds as of February the 29th of 2008, pretty recent news here, were the $66 billion S&P 500 SPDR, managed by State Street. Notice they're the same managing group that works with Barclays. The $46 billion iShares MSCI EAFE and the $26 billion iShares MSCI EM, both managed by Barclays, according to data compiled by State Street. Kind of a circular logic, isn't it? round and round again. Barclays, State Street, State Street, Barclays. Interesting, wouldn't you say? You know, there are right now about more than 8.3 million U.S. mortgages all across this fine country underwater. This is an article off Bloomberg also. Dan Levy, March the 4th, more than 8.3 million U.S. mortgage holders owed more on their loans in the fourth quarter than their property was worth as the recession cut home values by $2.4 trillion last year. An additional 2.2 million borrowers will be underwater if the home prices decline another 5%. First American, a Santa Ana, California-based seller of mortgage and economic data, said in a report today. Those anonymous experts say, you know, they're just representing a corporation, but we never hear the man's name. Households with negative equity or near it account for a quarter of all mortgage holders. Negative equity, upside down and inside out. Oh, let's just go ahead and get a hot tub, honey, and put it out on the back porch. Why, look at all this equity we have in our house. Let's take out another loan and buy another suck UV. Insanity. Insane children and adolescents not only running our government, but, of course, running their own lives as well right into the garbage. Here's another Sam Cater quote. We have too much supply and not enough demand. Well, in the housing market, too much supply and not enough demand seems to be driving, what, down the price of houses? But in gold, we have far too much demand and not nearly enough supply, but the prices are being driven down in gold. Somebody's in this market playing games. I don't like it. Do you? Let's go to a little bit more interesting thing. This is out of the Encyclopedia Americana again, Volume 3, Volume B, B to Bird's Foot, published back in the 1951 by the New York Chicago Americana Corporation. This is out of a deep and lengthy article on banking, some of which I've been drawing from already. We've talked about the Bank for International Settlements out of this particular encyclopedia article, lengthy article, many, many parts and pieces, chapters, if you will. Sometimes you get a real winner like that in a encyclopedia that's worth the price of admission. This is about expert examinations. We're in a talk on bank supervision. Listen what it has to say. It's been held and is indeed held by many knowing no other method that to ascertain the value of properties submitted as collateral for loans recourse must be had to some qualified expert, generally someone engaged in buying and selling real estate. And so pertinent and timely to our topic here, where we have all of these houses upside down, it would seem that the expert examination, typically traditionally considered part of banking supervision back in 1951 when this lengthy article was written on banking, has been overlooked. Going to it a little bit further here. He says the judgment of such an authority. Well, let me just get back and say that all over again. I think it'd be worth it. It's been held and is indeed held by many knowing no other method that to ascertain the value of properties submitted as collateral for loans, recourse must be had to some qualified expert, generally someone engaged in buying and selling real estate. And the judgment of such an authority has been and is accepted as conclusive on the security offered and determinative as to whether the report shall be favorable or adverse to the loan. But here the question arises, who shall guarantee the expert? This is almost a perennial question in these times. Who shall watch the watchers? If we have the super social scientists with the flock of human beings in their petri dish being examined, who shall watch the watchers? Who's going to watch over these super social scientists? But again, here in this article, he says, who shall guarantee the expert? In other words, the one that says, oh, that house is worth $2.75 million for loan purposes. Who shall guarantee the expert? For experience has too often shown that his judgment may fail, or it may be discovered that the expert was consciously or unconsciously interested in advising the loan. The applicant may have been a friend of his, or, and such cases have been, it may be his own device for getting a loan by applying through the concealed interests of another party. But suppose a more excellent way is to be found by which the bank can be rendered reasonably certain as to the virtue or the value of the property, that a clear title can be given, that it has real existence as described, both as to environment and prospective value. If he be a wise banker, will he not take advantage of that safer and saner method? Certain amount of safe and sane banking has been thrown out. If the person that is saying that this land is of this value has an interest or is looking to get another loan or perhaps knows fully well that all such garbage or toxic waste loans made will eventually be covered by Benjamin Bernanke and Timothy Geithner and Jorge Bush and Barry the Usurper, then I guess if you are a part of the banking cartel, you could throw care to the wind, devil may care, and just loan money to any old one on any old piece of property and to hell with the price, right? And let us suppose further that in this way our banker is kept informed regarding specific localities as to whether they are advancing or retrograding in value, whether the interest is kept up. Now we can jump back to this article here by Dan Levy, and we can see that California leads the way, but let me read in the article. It says, let's see if I want to start there. Yes, I think I will. California leads the way. U.S. foreclosure filings exceeded 250,000 for the 10th straight month in January, Realty Track, Inc. reported, and payrolls plunged by 598,000, pushing the unemployment rate to the highest since 1992, according to the Labor Department. An average of 230,000 borrowers a month slid to negative equity in the fourth quarter of 2008, First American said. California led with 43,000, followed by Texas with 16,000, Nevada with 15,000, Florida and Virginia each with 14,000. New negative equity borrowers may rise to 250,000 a month in the first half of the year if prices continue falling, Cater said. Barry the Usurper has proposed a $275 billion plan intended to help as many as 9 million troubled borrowers refinance or restructure their loans. Government funds would be used to match the interest payment reductions by lenders and to purchase stock in mortgage companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, it goes on more, but here, the geographic distribution of underwater mortgages is broadening beyond states in the U.S. West and Florida, where rapid price appreciation was fueled by subprime lending, blah, blah, blah. Such cities as Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Cleveland will have an increasing share of homes with negative equity if home values continue to drop. And we'll be back. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world. world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You know, I sometimes don't know whether I should start these various articles with a long, long ago and far away or remember when type of a beginning, but, you know, altogether too often that is the case. I remember a time when things, when water flowed downhill in America, when we had people in charge of banks and in engineering companies and in architectural firms and elsewhere that actually had an education and had common sense and used their mind. But we can see here from this article from 1951 out of the Encyclopedia Americana that things have changed according to what's happening in the United States mortgage markets today. Let's go back to this article and reread that last sentence. It says, and let us suppose further that in this way our banker is kept informed regarding specific locations as to whether they are advancing or retrograding in value. In other words, whether the interest is kept up. And this is what we've seen here. Any good banker over the last decade should have, could have, would have been paying attention. Certainly if he was using his own money, he would have been paying attention to what potential and what future prices might be on these various and sundry loans that they're making. You know, prices cannot continue on housing to go up indefinitely. And when you have a builder who's in building subdivisions with 100 and 150 or 200 homes, and every home in the subdivision is valued at over $450,000, you got to ask yourself sometime along the way, who's going to buy these houses, where are they going to work, how are they going to qualify, and what happens if there's a downturn in the market? You would think a banker would think about those sorts of things as he's eating his oatmeal or poached eggs in the morning, as he looks at the newspaper before he comes into work at 10:30. Is it not clear that a banker who has such expert advice is not only freed from duties that would otherwise needlessly weigh upon him, but that his services are to just this extent made more valuable in that with less time expended in searching for details and technicalities, he has more time to devote to other more important tasks? Again from the article. Needless to say, we're not pleading for a title guarantee company or other corporation. We only say this, that where the services of these or kindred institutions are warranted by the business of the bank, and it must be small institutions where the volume of business, turning this very valuable old page, where the business does not warrant them, such facilities carrying guarantee or perfect safety should be utilized by the prudent banker. So there's something out there that was recognized in the 50s, and then it was basically brought into wide and general acceptance that there were these various experts, adjusters and appraisers who could actually go out and establish real estate values and prices. Well, anyway, a lot on that issue. There's so much to know and so much to think about when we look at this upside down economy. Here, closing this article out, the New York figures. Nevada had the highest share at 55%. Michigan was second at 40%, followed by Arizona at 30%. And Florida and California at 30%, said First American again. New York had the lowest share of underwater mortgages at simply 4.7%. Connecticut was 9.1%, and New Jersey was at 9.7%. First American compiles its negative equity reports from almost 42 million properties with mortgages and covers single-family homes, cooperatives, condominiums, townhomes, and attached properties up to 4 units. The estimate accounts for 85% of all mortgages in the U.S., and data includes home prices from $70,000 to $1.25 million. So there are these experts out there. It just makes you want to scratch your head and wonder why the bankers weren't seeking the counsel of their experts. But, of course, in this issue as well, as we are now in property tax time once again, at least here in Southwest Missouri, perhaps you're blessed and live in a state that doesn't pirate and plunder your property with taxes, but we certainly have that here. Both your real and your personal property are taxed on an annual basis, if you allow it to be such. You haven't raised the patent or gone in and argued your individual solution to global problems. But we have taxes being levied now on all of these properties all over the United States in various places. And I wonder how many assessor's offices are reducing the value of the property commensurate with the decline in their real value. Or are you going to have to go into a board of adjustment and argue the point that your taxes being levied at the same rate as last year or the year prior or perhaps averaged over the last 5 years are way the heck too high? They don't reflect the honest decay of the economy, and you want to have your taxes assessed value on your property reduced, and reduced according to these kinds of figures. I wonder how successful you would be in a board arguing that point. All across America, in the various counties that I'm aware of, county commissioners and justices of the peace are finalizing their annual budgets projections. And so many times we hear about them thinking to either increase the taxes or increase the spending or both. But how can they do that when their property base continues to decline, when the sales taxes continue to reflect a weakening economic system as people hold more money in their pocket and spend less money at Walmart, any of the other big box stores, or even Dollar General or the local hardware store? Everyone's taken it in the shorts here, but yet government seems to want to spend more, throw even more into the matrix. So what's up with that? We've got a lot of work to do, folks. That's why I talk about becoming vocal local. Things that we can do on the local level to alter the course of destruction right where we are, alter or block the advance of globalism and this idea that we should have a one-world superstate run by the same kind of mentally bereft people that are trying to run the United States and the United Nations and Great Britain and Israel. It seems that we've had a disconnect somewhere between on this path from the 60s till now. Maybe there was just a little bit too much LSD or cocaine consumed by some of these people, and they have lost all of their cognitive capacity. Nevertheless, there's a lot to that. We have been talking about a variety of these international banking orders, if you will. We started into an inquiry into the origin, the history, and the purpose of the new economic order. And one of the very first things that I brought out or defined again was this concept of international. And there are certain codes and languages that we need to be aware of, but when we see the word international, we need to immediately recognize it for what it is. It's just basically code for socialism. There was the First International, the Second International, and the Third International, and these were labor associations representing socialist bodies from the various nations of the world. How many of you have looked up the ILO? You know that the International Labor Organization has been around longer than most, and yet no matter where you look and no matter where you go, you always find the ILO involved in things. Going back and thinking again along internationals, the First International, officially called the International Working Men's Association, was formed at a meeting in London in 1864 for the purpose of promoting the revolutionary principles of its socialist leaders, Karl Marx, old Mordecai, and his chump buddy, Friedrich Engels. A couple of real pieces of work. Historically, they've become almost as gods to such a huge percentage of the people of around the planet. Lots of Marxists, including those that are occupying all of the upper levels of the administration in the United States of America, Marxists. Marxists. If you understand who the hippy-dippy weathermen were and what Barry the Usurper's relationship is with that group, you'll understand what I mean when I say that it's basically just Neapolitan chocolate and white, or chocolate and vanilla with a very strawberry red stripe, a communist red stripe right up his spine. A lot to be thought about, a lot to know about the world that we live in, but in that First International, salted in throughout the crowd, there were a whole gob and a bunch of positivists. So we have the philosophy of Claude Henri Duveyroy St. Simon and Isidore Marie François Xavier Comte, salted right in the middle of socialism. We'll be back on the other side for the second hour. Stay with us. Until then, stand by.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Wednesday, March the 4th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local as we begin the second hour of today's broadcast. We're coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, that is oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and we're going into a continuation of, this would be part two, or maybe, yes, no, this is part three, my goodness, part three of an inquiry into the origin, history, and the purpose of the new economic order. And thus far, rather than focusing on the people that have made history, we're focusing on what the people made, some of the very easily discernible, easily verifiable organs and bodies inside of this new economic order that have a dramatic impact on us. And when there are groups out there, and there's plenty of them out there, the End the Fed Bunch and the Campaign for Liberty group even, and Ron Paul Carrions and so on and so forth, the champions for End the Fed, End the Fed, End the Fed. It makes me scratch my head because as a political realist, we make those kinds of comments and make them publicly. It only serves to our own discredit because there's so much more to this system than just the Federal Reserve banking system of the United States of America. So much more. Interlinking, interdependent, interlocked, global in nature and in scope, and centuries old. Nevertheless, if we're going to end the Fed, we're going to have a Congress that has the political will and the backbone, and not a red backbone, not a pinko backbone, not a commie red backbone, but an American rugged individualist backbone, self-reliant backbone, who's willing to turn its back on all of these various and sundry agents and agent provocateurs that work within the government today that finance through the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the various great super foundations, as we've spoken of before, written about by Rene Wurmser in his book, The Foundations, Their Power and Their Influence. We're going to need to understand things a little bit more than that, better than that, deeper than that, if we hope to be able to make any kinds of changes. You know, the worst thing that could possibly happen would be to throw all the bums out and then replace one set of bums with another set of bums. We would have gained nothing for our work and for our money and for our time. So we're going to need to raise up, if you will, a group, 500-plus men and women, perhaps, to replace as a replacement set, at least for Congress, and then it just continues out throughout all of the rest of the counties, totaling some millions of people by the time this whole process is renewed or restored. We're going to have to raise up a generation of people who actually understand how the globe works and how it doesn't work and what we can do to tweak it here and there and here and there and try and bring some sanity over the next decade or two into this system so that maybe by the year 2100 we might see some relief from this madness. But going into something simple like the Black's Law Dictionary, 8th edition, and opening it up to I for international and proceeding from there, we can find pages of international and interstate definitions, legal definitions, points in law. And I'll just share a couple with you as we go into the last few seconds here, just titles of them. The International Bureau for the Protection of Intellectual Property. How about the International Center for the Settlement of Investment Disputes? International Commerce. International Controls, International Convention for the Protection of Performers, Producers of Phonograms, and Broadcasting Organizations. The International Court of Justice, why we just touched on them. There's so many more. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail, and it's a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisers. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbird don't want you to know about.
Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music slash business or a freedom slash patriot related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Now, if you've been following along this past few days as we've going through this program, I guess you could say, putting a historical foundation on the new economic order, or an inquiry into the origin, history, and purpose of the new economic order, as I styled it when I was writing it all out. What I've been doing is presenting material from the most simple to the more complex. And I'm using common sources, common information, things gleaned out of old encyclopedias and dictionaries, so that we can understand that there is something to know about all of this. And in this inquiry, we found certain conflicts with the various reports, but typically each is building upon the last, and we get deeper and deeper into the topic. But it's also a process that I hope to be able to continue on these broadcasts here on Oracle, waking up the audience at this time of the morning, getting our minds ready for the day, learning to think beyond 30-second sound bites, being able to spend an hour or 2 hours on one particular topic, on one particular train of thought, and go along with our knocking stick and knock on every car in the train. We'll start with the three or four engines and wind up at the caboose. And then after we've inspected one train of abuses, then we can go to the next train of abuses and get a better understanding of these various things. And with the good fortune of having archives available, we'll be able to go back at a later time and listen again when necessary, or when you find someone that doesn't understand something that we've discussed here, you can turn them on to the archives and suggest that they might give it a listen. So So we've started into these various different funds, these various sons and daughters of the banking group set up originally by the Bank of England. In my opinion, Frankfurt am Main goes all the way back to the Bowers when they hang out their red shield. We haven't covered the people yet. We're still covering the things that are easily discernible. But let's go into the International Monetary Fund once again, a longer and more thorough article. The International Monetary Fund, a specialized agency of the United Nations, and again, they refer you to the United Nations. Go see. Check it out. Read some of the articles that are out there. Get a better understanding of the organizational system. Get an idea of all of the various heads, organs, bodies, and secretariats of the United Nations. And obtain their documents. Get a copy of Agenda 21. Sit down and read it. You may have to read it many times before it really starts to settle in. But when you get a glimpse or a glimmer of what is intended globally to be the management system for the 21st century, I think you'll renew your conviction and work even harder and smarter in the next decade. Anyway, this specialized agency was established in December of 1945. Here's the reason why, supposedly, reportedly, to promote a freer system of world trade and payments as a means of helping its members to achieve economic growth, high levels of employment, and improved standards of living. Now, I started this article and may even read this article this week or last, but it's worthy of repeating. Because if we ran a test today on what you learned before, you probably would score poorly. We're all victims of our educational system. We listen with part of our mind only. And I'm as guilty and as a victim of that as any. But again, what was its purpose? To promote a freer system of world trade, free world trade. So George Jorge Bush, the free trader, no, this is not free trade, my friends. This is managed trade, a completely different topic. But a freer system of world trade and payments as a means of helping its members to achieve economic growth. If you look in your state statutes, you'll find economic development enshrined in your state statutes. So to help its members achieve economic growth, high levels of employment. We cannot have people unemployed on this planet. Everyone has to have a job, even if it's leaning on a shovel. We need to account for your whereabouts. We need to have you in the system. We need to have you on the dole. We need to have you contributing. We need to keep track of your inputs and your outputs, the International Monetary Fund, and improved standards of living. We cannot have a controlled environmental and developmental concern, which is a corporation, if everyone is not moving ever further into this elusive and illusory higher standard or improved standard of living. Continuing, the fund constitutes a continuing forum for the consideration of foreign exchange problems. So it's a place where you can get together and talk. A talking shop, as Adolf Hitler considered it, talking shops. It's in which the members are encouraged to avoid the use of restrictive practices and to maintain an orderly pattern of exchange rates. The $21,348,000 that the fund holds in gold and currencies, that's a couple of shekels, my friends. $21,348,000, I know that didn't sound right, that the fund holds in gold and currencies provides a reserve on which members may draw to meet foreign obligations during periods of deficit in their international balance of payments. A request by a member nation for fund assistance is considered in the light of the fiscal and monetary policies of the nations and its cooperation with the principles of the fund. You see, when you put your hands out for international community grants in aid, funds, then the shackles of control can come on your hands. Whoever calls the tune, you know, whoever pays the piper calls the tune. And it's no different here. The Articles of Agreement of the Fund and those of the International Bank of Reconstruction and Development, or the World Bank, were formulated again at the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference, which was part of the 1944 Bretton Woods Conference held in New Hampshire. We talked about that. Makes you wonder what else was going on at that conference. The creation of this bank was just part of it. And here we say that each of the 116 members, and as you noticed as we went through these various articles, it rose up from 44 members now to 116 at the time of this writing. Now, each of the 116 members of the fund is assigned a quota that approximately determines its voting power and the amount of foreign exchange that it may draw from the fund. The subscription of each member is equal to its quota and is payable partly in gold and partly in its own currency. And there's people saying, oh, we ought to just throw all the gold in the street. Well, rest assured, the master blasters, the men behind the curtain, the money masters, they're not throwing gold in the street. They're definitely piling it up. And if you've noticed lately, the central banks are exceedingly reluctant to sell their gold into the marketplace. We'll pick it up on the other side of this break. Stay with us as we explore the International Monetary Fund.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned once again, and in the chat room there's questions in regards to program and system. Very good observation by the chatters there. There's a vast difference between a program and a program. There's a difference between a system and a system. It has a lot to do with raising a concept up to ideologies and belief systems, for instance, in Auguste Comte's positivist system, his system of positivism, that M-E is in the end there. He has a system of positive polity and a system of positive philosophy. And in that regard, yes, it has a French meaning. But also, in Noah Webster's 1828 and in Johnson's 1759 dictionaries, the Noah Webster's dictionary is really a dictionary of the American language, and in the American Heritage Dictionary also. But if you go to the Oxford English Dictionary, you'll see the use of these useless tales is what our linguist said about English language. We changed it to the American. We dropped, got rid of the useless tales. A program, P-R-O-G-R-A-M-M-E. Get rid of that useless tale, that extra M-E. Throw it out. And so there's a way that you can track back to some of the authorship of these various and sundry doctrines when you look at the United Nations Agenda 21 Program of Action. And you see that useless tale M-E there. You can track it back, I believe, to the Tavistock Institute and to various English sources, even all the way to Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince, as Joan Vian has styled him. So there's a lot to know, but also you go into these internationals. Remember, that's where we started. The first international, the second international, the third international. These programs are the action plans, the five-year plans, the 10-year plans, the 20-year plans, for the fulfillment, for bringing into existence, for actualizing the super social state. And so I always pay attention when I see these programs used. Dropping down here in our article, we talked about lots of money. On February the 1st, 1970, the assets of the International Monetary Fund included about $3,471,000,000 in gold, $771 million in subscriptions receivable, and $18,720,000,000 in various international currencies. And then just dropping down again, because we did cover this yesterday, the member pays to the fund an amount of its own monetary equivalent, at the agreed par value, the amount of foreign currency it wishes to draw. So it's kind of like a balancing system, but the member is expected to repurchase, that's a repurchase agreement, to repurchase its own currency from the fund within 3 to 5 years with a payment of gold or dollars or convertible currency acceptable to the fund. Now, remember that this was written back in 1972, and so it may no longer apply in regards to the deposit of gold. That I have to verify. That is continuing education or more study. Okay? So, let's go on here, and we're going to go to the next level. Let's go to the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, also known as the World Bank. It's a specialized agency of the United Nations. Oh, really? Not again. Established at the Bretton Woods Conference. Oh, boy. Okay, so these are twins. They're actually, one's the fund, the other's the bank. And the chief objectives of the bank, as stated in the Articles of Agreement, are to assist in the reconstruction and development of the territories of members by facilitating the investment of capital for productive purposes and to promote private foreign investment by means of guarantees or participation in loans and to supplement private investment by providing on suitable conditions finance for productive purposes out of its own capital. All that's to said, look over at Iraq. Look in Afghanistan, look in Bosnia, Serbia, or any of the places that we've been pummeling in the last decade. Always in the state of emergency, always in these little wars that are never declared, these police actions, and all of the destruction of property, the infrastructure, the life, and so on. And then we can start to understand who profits here, who gets to borrow money, who has to promise percentages of their GDP, their gross domestic product, as a surety or a quota and buy their shares, their votes, their voice, viva voce, in the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development and the World Bank, or the the International Monetary Fund. Let's go on a little bit further here. The bank grants loans only to member nations. Isn't that convenient? That's a way to drum up business, isn't it? That's kind of just like, you know, your hazard mitigation plan where you get the FEMA money for any of the natural disaster reparations or reconstruction only if you've been selling plenty of flood insurance programs. That's another topic for another day. By the end of the fiscal year 1970, the bank had made about 705 loans totaling about $14,270,000,000 to 86 member countries and territories on six continents, including a $200 million loan to its affiliate, the International Finance Corporation. So it's in this process of going through these various encyclopedia articles and looking at them as they become increasingly complex as you run for something like the Grolier's 1994, which is basically pablum for the world children. And you get down into things more detailed like this Americana Encyclopedia or the Encyclopedia Britannica. But here we're introduced with a new International Finance Corporation, and we've discovered that it's an affiliate of the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development. So we can go see, it would be a hot link, another article that we'll need to add to our study. In the early period of the existence of the World Bank, loans were granted chiefly to European countries and were used for the reconstruction of industries damaged or destroyed during World War II. I hope you understand that when we went in and bombed heck out of Germany and other places, and Germany was bombing and destroying other places as well, and the Soviets were doing the same and the Brits were doing the same, that a lot of the bombing was being targeted. Certain buildings, industries, and things like that came out unscathed. Ford Corporation and others came out undamaged, and yet buildings right with near them, you know, were destroyed. My father was a bomber pilot, an instructor, World War II, B-17, B-26, the Martin Marauder, and as part of his estate settlement, I came across his aviators' footlockers, and one of the books in his footlockers was the instruction manual for flying a B-26. And so I sat there and studied it and laid it all out, you know. And in there it talks all about how to organize and plan a bombing run and how the bombing run goes and so on and so forth. And when the pilot and the co-pilot turn the controls over to the bombardier and he flies and he targets. Even in those days, folks, there was the capacity to do precision bombing. And that was a long time ago. If you've ever looked at one of these old aircraft, World War II war machines, they're basically like driving a farm tractor by comparison to what's out there today. Most everything was done by hydraulics and manual controls, eyesight, the mind of the man, and very precise bombing was possible. Anyway, they destroyed lots. And so then they turned around, and the banking community, you know, we've heard about it over and over again, the Rothschilds on both sides at Waterloo, and at so many other wars ever since then, financing both sides. Then they turn around and they loan money back for what? Reconstruction and development at interest. And what do they take in exchange? Gold and currencies from the countries that are getting rebuilt. So first we bomb heck out of the country, and then we pillage their central banks and take all of their gold and all of their currency, and then we give them a new currency, more fiat money, funny money. What a way to run the world. Bigger than the Fed, I think. I'll be back.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights.
LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Yes, indeed, there are lots of thieves and gangsters and pirates roaming all over the planet today. You know, today they don't wear a little patch over their eye and a bandana on their head. They wear, as some people say, $5,000 suits. I don't know whether they cost that much or not, but you can get quite a smashing suit for a couple of grand. Yes, indeed. And we talk a lot about Colonel Edward Mandel House as being the alter ego of presidents. But sometimes we need to remember Bernard Baruch, too. He was deep into all of this. We read the article on Lend-Lease earlier in the week. Bernard Baruch, you might look into him. But Bernard Baruch is the descendant of the Rogues Island pirates involved in the Triangle, the rum trade, the slave trade, etc. Bernard Baruch, very interesting fellow. We mentioned in the chat room about rebuilding the Tower of Babel in Babylon and Iraq. True enough in all of that, the foundation for the modern Tower of Babel was laid at the founding conference of the United Nations in San Francisco in 1945. The man who was Secretary General of this conference and who helped draft the United Nations Charter was the Council on Foreign Relations member Alger Hiss. Later, Hiss was discovered to be a Soviet spy and served time in prison for lying about his connections to a Soviet spy ring. In addition to Hiss, more than 40 other members of the American delegation to the United Nations founding conference were members of the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, much the same as their corollary in England, by the way. Alger Hiss took the UN Charter back to Washington in a small safe, and the U.S. Senate ratified the document without studying its contents. Seems to be a repeating phenomena, does it not? flies in the face. Well, we don't want to go there. That's a long story. After the U.S. became a part of world government, John D. Rockefeller donated $8.5 million to purchase the land, the slaughterhouse land, the blood-soaked land, the live-burning sacrifice land upon which the United Nations building stands today, the stockyards there in New York on the East River. From the very beginning, the U.N. was a big business proposition. Hear me. Hear me. We're not talking about wringing our hankies for the poor Negroes in Africa that are starving. From the very beginning, the UN was a big business proposition. Part of it was launched with the formation by CFR members of the International Monetary Fund, which we've been studying, and the World Bank at Bretton Woods Conference, 1944, which we've been studying, and closely linked with Rockefeller's Chase Manhattan Bank. The World Bank has been used to lend money around the world, mostly U.S. taxpayers' money. The beneficiaries of this money have not been the poor people in the undeveloped, the backward, and the impoverished countries, no, no, but the wealthy industrialists who wish to expand operations in these countries. That is from The Secret Side of History by D. Zahner, a good book, worthy read, again. Lots of books in my library. Just came jumping off the shelf right into my hand during the break. Back to our encyclopedia article here. The basic source of funds for the bank is subscriptions to or purchase of capital shares worth $100,000 each. Now, I'm weaving two concepts together in this multiple-part series. One of them, I'm focusing on ETFs, exchange-traded funds. Some of these big players, Barclays Bank, etc., State Street Corporation, etc. And as we come to a conclusion of this particular study, we're going to be laying out some information you might find rather interesting. But when we look at the formation of these various banks, they seem to have a repeating theme, the same people behind them, the same kind of concepts behind them, the great redistribution of wealth scheme. But the basic source, again, reiterating, of funds for the bank is subscriptions to or purchase of capital shares worth $100,000 each. The minimum number of shares a member nation must purchase varies according to the relative strength of its national economy. Depends on how deep the pocket is as to how many shares you must purchase. All of the funds subscribed are not immediately available to the bank. Only 10% of the $100,000 paid for each capital share is actually deposited with the bank. This is just the way that the ETFs work, is it not? Put down a little bit of money, buy a basket of commodities, a basket of currencies, and you're in the game. The remaining 90% is deposited only if the bank calls for the money in order to pay its own obligations. And that's very important when we look at these ETFs. The balance of your money is only called when the ETF goes broke. The remaining 90% is deposited only if the bank calls for that money, again. And as of June 1970, the subscribed capital of the bank totaled $23,158,800,000, and of this sum, only about 10% was so-called paid-in capital, meaning that it was deposited with the bank. Fractional reserve banking on steroids. Of this sum, again, only 10% was paid in. The working funds of the bank are derived from the sales of its bonds in capital markets of the world, from repayment of earlier loans, and from profits on its own operations. All the powers of the bank are vested in a board of governors comprising one governor appointed by each member nation. The governors delegate most of their powers to 20 executive directors who meet regularly at the central headquarters of the bank in Washington, D.C. Again, all the powers of the bank are vested in a board of governors, who are on the board of directors or governors of the International Bank for Reconstruction or the IMF, the World Bank. Timothy Geithner is on the board of directors of this international cabal by default. And Benjamin Bernanke is his alternate, in case you didn't know. We're going to go into that in detail when we study the modern version of this bank. Five of the executive directors, again, are appointed by the five member nations that hold the largest number of shares. This is the same setup as you have in the United Nations, where we have the Security Council, the Big Three, then the Big Five, then the Big Seven, who set it all up originally and divided the world amongst themselves, the Soviet Union and Great Britain and France and the United States of America. Membership in the bank is a prerequisite for membership in the IFC. What is the IFC? Two affiliates of the bank have been set up in recent years. These are the International Finance Corporation, which we'll also go into, known as the IFC, which was established in 1956, and the International Development Association, the IDA, a really big idea, IDA, established in 1960. Membership in the bank is a prerequisite for membership in the IFC or the IDA. In other words, you've got to be in one member of one to get into the member of the other. To get the benefits, you have to sell your soul to the beast. All three institutions share the same board of governors and executive directors. The president of the bank is ex officio chair of the board of directors of the IFC and the IDA. It might be worth your time to go up and do a little bit of Google work on this, you know, Scroogle, Dogpile, Web Ferret, however you browse. The IDA is a concessionary loan affiliate of the bank group, designed to provide development finance for those developing countries that are unable to accept loans at conventional rates of interest. Go back and review Economic Hitmen. Be an interesting read in companion with this our study. The credits of the association are longer term than those of the bank and bear no interest. Only an annual service charge is made, currently 0.75%. The IDA depends for its funds on subscriptions from its 18 most prosperous members and on transfers of income from the bank. By June of 1970, the IDA had made 221 credits totaling $2,773,128,000, and had 105 members, if I read that right. All three institutions are legally and financially separate, but the bank and IDA share the same staff. The IFC has its own operating and legal staff, but uses administrative and other services of the bank. Membership in the International Monetary Fund is a prerequisite for World Bank membership and its affiliates. And all this from an article entitled International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the Funk and Wagnalls New Encyclopedia, 1972, Volume 13, page 343 and 345, retrieved from a dumpster out back of a public library with permission. The entire set, by the way. Then there's the International Finance Corporation. This is this IFC. It's known as the IFC, the affiliate of the World Bank that invests in private industry in developing member countries. You see how it would be useful to always have more developing countries. You can see how it would be useful to not raise the standard of living. It would be useful to always keep the poor with us. And the poor will be with us always. That way you can keep loaning money to them indefinitely. We'll be back. Be right there.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control Mockingbird don't want you to know about.
MySpace. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music slash business or a freedom slash patriot related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
You know, it's really been a head-scratcher for me when I hear various and sundry pundits on the radio, especially disappointing when they're coming out of what we consider to be the independent media talking about, oh, well, my goodness, you know, Barry the usurper, Barry and the boys are making, you know, the United States a socialist country. Insanity. Insane children and adolescents on every street corner, no matter where you turn. I've got a book in my library. It was written by Philip J. Wiley. It's called The Den of Vipers, written, I believe, if my memory serves me right, somewhere between 52 and 1956, where he's talking all about the mommy state, the nanny state, the socialization, if you will, the socialism that had taken full charge of the United States of America in his lifetime, and his mother was very influential and was the courtesan. That's not quite the right word. It's a woman that would go out with men and be on their elbow, so to speak. She was well known in the social community and a date, I guess, for men. But anyway, he knew quite a bit about what was going down simply by having grown up listening to his mother talk about it. But we've been a socialist country for a long, long time. I remind you often and point to the radical red Republicans, the Lincoln Republicans. Isn't it humorous that Barry the usurper, the unqualified one, would be desirous of using the Lincoln Bible as his ticket to the Lincoln bedroom? The same communist cabal that's been working in this country ever since the inception of communism and positivism. And remember, as I mentioned earlier, at that first international, William Congreve and others, the early positivists, the French positivists were all over that conference like a wet washcloth. The Illuminati have always desired to never be known by the same name or the same profession twice, but always under a new name and under a new profession. So we have a long history of this development, if you will, and it always runs the same way. It's always robbing from Peter to pay Paul. All of this charity is, all of the beneficence, all of the humanitarian spirit of the last 100 years, it's always charity that's being given to others by the politicos, but it's money that's being taken out of your pocket and mine. It's the idea of robbing Peter and paying Paul. But here we are, 100 years distant into this phenomena, and we've come to the point in time in the United States of America where about 8 out of every 10 people are actually receiving all or most of their income from government sources. And unfortunately, Peter is dead broke, dejected, no longer interested in participating in the system, withdrawing all of his support from politics, religion, the economy, etc., entrepreneurs, closing shops and saying, well, that's it, I've had it. This is the last time I'm going to make more in payroll to my employees than I take home for myself. I'm through. I'm done with this. And the downside potential here for Paul is that when Peter quits paying into the system, Paul is going to starve to death because the parasitic puke, commie, socialist creep doesn't produce a dang thing and hasn't ever. And that's what we're starting to see around us now. All of these trillions and trillions paid out in bailouts. Created from nothing, loaned into existence by a bankrupt government trying to shore up and bail out or sustain a bankrupt economic model. Socialism cannot function, it cannot work, but yet they're still talking about a one-world super-social state. And all of this was written about back in the 1850s, the various utopians, but it goes back long before that. Sir Thomas More, his Utopia, one of the first, I think the first to use the name. Anyway, we're talking about the International Finance Corporation in the last couple of minutes of this broadcast. Maybe I need to save that for tomorrow. I might touch on it in a moment. But I will say that there's lots more wonderful broadcasting available right here on Oracle Broadcasting all the way around the clock. I always start with the broadcast immediately following mine, but maybe we should start where we need to start. It started midnight. The Midnight Rider with Mike Chambers from 12 o'clock a.m. until 4 o'clock a.m. My friends, you can stay up all night on this. And then we go into Reveille Radio with Jeff Humphreys. Then there's the the one rebroadcast, still seeking a host, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers. Then, of course, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I'll be back again for 2 hours. And then after this broadcast, you'll have the Global Reality with Josh Reeves. Then Outside the Box with Alex Ansari. The Intel Strike Report with Michael Vail and Doug Owen. Then we go into the Axiom Radio broadcast with Rob Chowda and Joel Bissett. And then we'll close out again this evening from 9 until midnight with Live Free or Die Radio, Lee Rogers. I mean, how do you get better than that? 24 hours a day. And there is a chip-in banner on the website. You might want to visit that. I noticed that we have regular commercial plugs, so I needn't go into it and dwell too long there. But if you want to keep this network growing and the archives available and continue to have additional funds perhaps in a kitty someplace for micro-broadcasters, do consider chipping into the network and let's keep this thing going and growing. Just kind of closing out the last minutes or so of the day, we'll talk a little bit more about this International Finance Corporation, the IFC. We're basically today and over the last couple of days been building up the matrix, all of the various players, and showing that this is an ongoing drive. It's a global initiative. The principal objectives of the IFC are, again, to provide equity and loan capital for productive private enterprises in association with private investors and management to encourage the development of local capital markets and to stimulate the flow of private international capital. And they're doing this with tax dollars, your money and mine. Why don't we get a dividend check instead of having to face up and pay the piper on April the 15th? Why aren't we receiving a dividend check on our earnings? The corporation invests in a wide variety of industries in developing member countries where sufficient private capital is not available on reasonable terms. Oh, boo-hoo. Hand me the hanky. Let me wring my handkerchief. Why are we being asked to underwrite all of these various and sundry, quote-unquote, developing member countries where sufficient private capital is not available on reasonable terms? Do they not have natural resources? Yes, they have. They have them in abundance. But the monopoly capitalists have tied them all up. And they feed the people on bread and water. And as we heard in the report yesterday, the miners there in Peru, so many died under nasty circumstances, but nevertheless, I would imagine that they're not receiving great dividends from the gold corp that they work for. Again, back to the article, all of its investments are made in association with private business without the guarantee of any government, and it does not provide more than a portion of the total finance required. The IFC expects its financial participation to be substantially less than 50% of the total cost of the project. Do you understand what we're talking about here? This is public-private partnership. This is corporate fascism on a global scale. And do you think you're going to stand outside of a Federal Reserve Bank with a bullhorn and a measly piece of paper with petition signatures on it and bring this system to a close? It's more than a pipe dream. It's ludicrous. We need to become vocal local. We need to look right at the government around us. We need to begin taking our nation back one precinct, one county, and one state at a time. All across this nation, there are men like Sam Rohrbach, I think his name is, out of Pennsylvania, and others, who are questioning the federal government's involvement in the states. Maybe we need to throw in with them a little bit and help them out. But we most definitely can look at our own school boards and our own county commissions and our own cities and town councils and the planning commissions and the planning boards and all of the rest of this plethora of Agenda 21 sustainable development nonsense that is choking the life out of America and do something locally. Hey, until then, have a great day, and I'll be back tomorrow.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice-over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.